Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
We're back.
And better than ever. Kevin is
right.
Tan and rested, thank you.
Yes, I spent the week in Disney World, everybody.
Ooh. Ooh. What was your favorite ride?
Soarin'. Soarin', the ride was absolutely amazing. We got up extra early because Disney World has this thing that if you stay on the parks, like resorts on the park, you get in what's called quote unquote magic hours. So you can, they have certain parks open either earlier or stay open later. So Epcot opened at 8 o'clock and we were staying right next door to that resort, right next door to that park. So yeah, I got up at 7:15 in order to get in right as the doors opened and, went on this ride Soarin' twice. Have you heard of it before? It's like,
So I've never been to Disney World, but in Disneyland we have Soarin'.
Similar. Yes.
And it's Soarin' over California.
Oh, very specific.
You don't go. You only go through California. I don't know, where do you go in Disney World?
Oh, all over the world. You go. It's stunning. It is. Of course, everyone. You know me. I'm sort of a sap, sort of. But as soon as that you were like lifted up. I don't know how to describe it. Those of you have ridden it before, it's a ride, but you're sitting in a chair, but you're lifted up off the ground in front of a big, huge screen that becomes sort of your world. And they pump air that smells like, you know, flowers and jasmine when you're in India. And it's just, the experience is just stunning. And we went on it and I like cried as soon as we were flying over mountains. And then we landed and I was like, let's get right back on it again. So we walked outside, came right back on and went on it again because it was just that magical. Yeah. And there was nobody there. So, but the whole week was wonderful. I mean, it's Disney World. What's not to love? And I have to give a shout out to all of those Disney performers. Rob, you know, we do this for a living. The first thing we're going to notice is when someone's not really giving it their all and sort of like snoozing their way through it. No.
Hershey Park.
Yeah. Not even like every single person was giving it full out, whether it be the people dancing in the parade right in front of your faces, connecting with the crowd and my nieces and nephews the whole time to the Finding Nemo. They have the show, this live action Finding Nemo that Kristen and Bobby Lopez wrote, you know, the people who wrote Frozen. This is years ago they wrote this. And the performances were incredible. I mean, really well acted, well sung. I tipped my hat to them. And then we saw this Frozen live show that has this onstage host and hostess that sort of walk you through the movie. And it's just, so they show clips of the movie, but their banter and their comedy, because let's face it, like my family were the only ones laughing at every little side joke they made, but they were still playing it like the whole audience was laughing. And I was very impressed. I was very impressed.
Why aren't we working there? We could host something.
I know.
We could host like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
No, we'd be those two guys in Muppets 3D, the two old guys that are like, what is this going on? Yes, that's us. I sent you a picture, I think, of that. But it was a nice getaway.
I thought it was just a selfie of us. I thought that's what you
said. Yeah, well, it was.
I would love that. I wanted to use one of those Statler and Waldorf dorks for when I saw If Then, but I didn't feel like I could. At our Richard Rodgers concert, we talked about If Then at our Richard Rodgers concert.
Yes, we did. And good transition, because that Richard Rodgers concert was amazing, Rob.
Oh, Kevin. It was a special one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Folks. Yeah. Listeners, you've been listening to us talk about it, and now we finally had it, and it was special. It was a great evening.
Well, also, shout out to our listeners, Joel and Jerry, who came in from Chicago.
Yeah. Hi, guys.
Thank you. It was so awesome. It was wonderful. I always say this, and please, you know, if you listen to us, and you're going to see something that we're doing, or you're going to be in town, email us, Facebook us, Twitter us, tweet us. You can't Twitter us. You can tweet us.
You sounded old when you just said that. What?
Yeah, Twitter. Okay. You're on Twitter?
Huh? I'm going to go Twitter something.
Twitter.
But do tell us, because we love to meet you, and we love to know that somebody's out there and listening, and it's really special. It really made an evening. And they came to both shows. That was really awesome.
They did. So thank you, Joel and Jerry, for coming and supporting us. But boy, this Richard Rodgers concert was fun. Maybe we'll post some clips of it. But Kevin, we had so many great numbers. Are there any highlights for you? I had a couple.
Well, I mean, obviously, Ernestine Jackson singing If I Were a Bell.
She's coming on the show, right? Did you convince her?
Yes, we. Good. You guys. So many listeners who are avid fans, you know that she was in that. She played Sarah Brown in the All Black Guys and Dolls in 1976. I want to say, and then before that, she was in Raisin. She starred in Raisin. She does a slew of other credits, but this woman is a legendary icon of Broadway. And we rehearsed with her, and I said, "Oh, because we rehearsed," and I was in tears by the end of the song. Again, shocking, Mr. Sapp over here, but it was just to hear her sing it and feel like not a day has gone by, and it's been all these years later. And she said, well, I don't know if I want to do the show because I just, you know, she was worried about remembering names and, like, you know, looking good. Cause she said, I listened to some episodes and everybody's so smart and knows everything. And I said, well, that's all editing. Ernestine. Yeah. Everybody doesn't hear all the ums and, like, the forgetting of the names and how we look up stuff.
Hold on for a second while
listeners, it happens all the time. And I told her that. And then she said, her eyes lit up a little bit. And I said, Ernestine, we just want to celebrate you. And so I felt that evening that she sang that song, it really, the whole audience just, I want that people stood. I mean, they celebrated her the way that she should be celebrated. And to be a part of that and to play the piano for her and to make music with her. Oh, Rob, I mean, that was the highlight of the evening.
She
for
sang
me.
If I Were a Bell and sounded just like the cast recording, like not a second had gone by.
No, and like in the same key. I mean, she's hitting, if you're a music person, high G sharps, but like kind of belted, like Evita belted. Yes. I mean, it was just crazy.
She had the, first of all, at sound check, it was all these kids who obviously, like, you know, she wasn't in Wicked, so who is she? Not to sound.
No, you're right.
Like
you're
a
right.
Jerk. But she had, remember that? She was like the first person up at sound check.
Oh, yeah.
Those kids' jaws were on the floor and then like mobbed her afterwards.
Yeah.
And just wanted to spend the whole rest of the night with her. Our former guests actually did a really great job. Ed Dixon told an amazing story about No No Nanette.
He's like the greatest storyteller. I will go to see any one-man show
Ed
ever
Dixon's
does again.
Book again.
Oh, my goodness, you
or
guys.
Or if you haven't,
really,
again, buy it. Just buy the book.
Read it again. It really read is the stuff of legends and the things that he has been through in his life and lived to tell the story. It's really special.
It's a journey. He's had a journey. Wait,
and the way he made us in laughing our butts off at his story, and then he sings this T-for-2 version that he wrote and he arranged, that was heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. Really, really stunning work.
And also the great Ron Huseman, who guys, so you go back and listen to our episode with Ron. Ron was in Tenderloin, Fiorello, All-American. He was going to be like the big golden age star. And then he developed MS and lost the ability to speak and lost the ability to walk, and then through this revolutionary rehabilitative therapy, not only regained the power of movement, but also regained the power of speech.
Yeah.
And that was on full display Sunday night because he told an anecdote about being in Tenderloin. The audience could not stop laughing.
Oh, he turned it on.
It was good. It was good. There were so many other people we could mention, but it was a really great night. And also, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin sang. And he was the music director for the concert, so the kids only knew him as the music director. They didn't know him that he had this glorious voice. And you have, listen, there are lots of emails and phone numbers coming your way. They are all male, so tell Sutton not to worry. But just know
it was
you
special.
Could walk into Flaming Saddles right now and get as many free drinks as you like, sir.
It was really nice to sing again. Okay. It was I sang Old Devil Moon with Sarah Jean Ford, and that was in itself was a
good.
Dream true.
It sounded really good. Really
well,
good.
Thank
his
thank
voice
you,
is like butter. It really is. But he's
making me blush.
He's embarrassed. I'm going to stop. But his voice
thank
is
you.
Really like butter.
Let's.
I've been seeing a lot of theater lately. Can I run through some shows that I've seen with
Please
you?
Do because I confess that I have not. So I need to hear. I need to live vicariously.
Okay.
Through you.
First thing I saw, and Kevin, this is wonderful. And please excuse the word I'm going to use for it. The word is miracle. This is a play called God Shows Up, written by Peter Felicia.
Oh.
Peter Felicia has written a play that is an absolute marvelous, miraculous wonder. It is a play about religion that does not all feel like we have heard these questions being asked before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely hysterical. It is warm. It is wise. It is funny. And I hope that everybody gets a chance to see it. It's running off Broadway right now in a tiny little theater.
I had no idea.
Yeah, it is so funny, but also very thought-provoking. I mean, we don't really talk about religion on here, but whether you're an atheist or agnostic or a very, very devout follower of whatever religion you believe in, you should go see this show. And what the cool thing about what Peter did is that when I left and I was going down the elevator out onto the street, people were still talking about the play.
Oh, wow.
You know, yeah. One of the things I'm not a huge fan of, and I've seen a couple of plays this season that do that, and we'll talk about this at the end in our Tony Awards broadcast when we get real snarky,
yeah, is
I'm not a huge fan of plays that pat you on the back for taking the right side of a political or social issue.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Being
yeah.
like, yes, I'm a good person for not right. wanting to, you know, I get that. And this play, I think, offers questions and makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable and offers a really good springboard for discussion. And hopefully in that discussion, people will actually be able to find like peace and understanding with one another. So the play is called God Shows Up. It's by Peter Felicia, who we both know we've had on the show multiple times. This is still a very objective review.
Fantastic. I'm so glad he's
with us knowing him. It's a really good play.
I'm so glad he's writing so much.
I mean, it seems
like he's really writing a lot more of not just his articles online, but, you know, work that we can see in performance. That's exciting.
Go see God Shows Up. It is an actual theatrical miracle. I also saw Carmelina,
or what I like to call Mamma Mia.
It is so charming.
The plot is the same as Mamma Mia, everybody, just to throw that, you know, that's why we say that. Because it literally is about a girl trying to figure out who her dad is on an island. Like, it's Mamma Mia.
It's legit Mamma Mia.
Just without the Burton Lane Lerner score. I love the score, actually, of Carmelina.
Well, I have to tell you, this version at the York was really good and very charming. And I kind of hope they'll bring it back. I saw Call Me Madam.
Oh,
I hear singing and there's no one.
And I'm tired. Now we're tired. And yeah, oh, I was trying to do the.
Yeah. Oh.
No, that's okay.
You're trying to be.
I don't remember the words, but I would rather be Russell Knipe because you know I love Russell Knipe and he's always my favorite tenor.
I know. Have you ever played that role in Call Me Madam?
Every theater's doing Call Me Madam.
The Muni presents Call Me Madam.
You had a good time. I love Carmen Cusack. I don't necessarily associate her with the role of Ethel Merman, but she's special.
It was different. I mean, I don't know if it's public knowledge, but there was somebody else lined up for that, and that person had to leave, and so they got Carmen in to do it.
Well, bless her for jumping in.
And that's allegedly. That's allegedly, folks.
Okay.
But I'm giving you a wink on allegedly. She made it her own. It was a really interesting take on the character. And really, she was just very like down home Midwestern girl. It was kind of fun. It was kind of fun.
Cool.
And Randy Rainbow was in it.
Oh, wow.
Twitter sensation Randy Rainbow was in it.
Great.
I saw my very own British Invasion out of Paper Mill.
Oh, that's the jukebox musical, right?
It is a jukebox musical about Herman's Hermits.
Well, come again?
Do you know the song Henry VIII? I'm Henry VIII, I am.
Yes.
That guy has a musical. And then we saw The Day Before Spring last night.
Yeah, Rob and I had a hot date last night.
It was Lerner and Lowe's first musical? First
1945.
I knew nothing about it.
I had done a little research on it from years ago when I was curious about them and trying to listen to all the stuff that they had written before, you know, My Fair Lady in 1956. But you could tell it was their first outing. Also, we have to remind ourselves that it's 1945. Like, Oklahoma had just come out. The idea of integrating, you know, dance, singing, acting, everything furthers the plot was still being flexed. They were still figuring that all out. And this was – York did a fantastic job of making the score sing, and they had archived it and really put it all together, rewrote some of the book. They moved it ahead 10 years so they didn't have to deal with the lack of talk of the war because it takes place in the 40s originally, and they didn't even discuss the war. That's a big issue going on then. So they moved to the 50s. It's a sweet show. I don't think it's going to get done by like every theater in the country, but it was really nice to see a piece of history and it's still a music by Lowe, so I mean it's still beautiful melodies and gorgeous sound.
Is there any recording of it? I don't even know if there's a recording of it.
No, there have been some individual songs that have been recorded from it, you know, on different various albums and lost in, you know, whatever albums. But no full recording. And that's the big sad thing, is that the orchestrations were done by this sort of Mahler aficionado. So I can imagine that the sound was very operatic, I would imagine, in the day. Because that's when you had house orchestras in the theater and wow. you had a full sound. And so I'm sure it was a lush, lush, lush score. What we had last night was piano, bass, and drums, which sounded amazing. They were incredible. But
And I, as great as those musicians sounded, I thought the cacophony of sounds coming from the audience was even more melodic and interesting at times.
It's folks, always an experience when you go to the York, and there's a demographic, and there's a lot of rustling, and there's a lot of, like, the lady behind us came in 10 minutes late, and I think it probably took her 25 minutes to get her jacket off. And I thought Stritch was there for a minute doing her insulin shots. I really did, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It was just this nice, sweet old lady that just.
It was the loudest.
It was insane. Bob and I were giggling, you guys. We were giggling in the audience.
I was like, by the time this jacket comes off, they're going to be bowing. Like, keep your jacket on.
I almost stood up and turned around and said, "Do you need some help with that? Do you want me to help you take that off?"
You're so polite. But
Jim Morgan was standing right behind her, and I thought, I probably shouldn't make a scene.
I wonder if Jim is, like, immune to it now at this point, because he's been there. Like, he doesn't know. Like, when people are, like, coughing and, like, dying in the aisles, like, he's just like, you know,
that one sneeze.
Oh, my God.
It scared the shit out of me.
There was this, like, very quiet moment in the show. And this guy sneezed. I've never heard a sneeze like this before. But it kind of sounded like he was saying the word sneeze.
Like, it was like achoo!
Yeah. Like, achoo! Like, so loud. And what I loved is like the actors didn't even blink. Because I'm like, they must be used to this by now. But you know what? God bless them. They're keeping theater alive, those folks. And I hope that when I'm that age, I'm still seeing everything.
Amen to that.
So amen to that. Achoo! It felt like a cartoon, like a little bubble coming up over his head.
Oh, my God.
Well. Okay, so that's it. And I also saw True West, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Never seen True West before.
Oh, my. I haven't either, actually. I've read it, but I've never seen it.
Very visceral. Yeah. But a really fabulous production.
Okay.
Ethan Hawke's a good actor. I know that sounds like so obvious.
No, but he really is. He really is a dedicated like craftsman. I think, from what I've read and seen, he really cares about the craft of it, and I respect that deeply.
And Paul Dano too. My God, he's good. God, he's good.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Great.
It was just.
Oh,
nice.
I'm so glad you saw so much theater, Rob.
That was
great.
A good acting for a change. who was that guy last night that you loved? He literally told me Thurston Howell the Third.
He stole the show for me. He did look.
Who is this?
It's a musical about where the reunion takes place at like a, you know, an unnamed Ivy League school that sounds like Yale and Harvard put together. But he like chose to have his jaw protruding the whole time. And
it was genius. I'm going to find out who this guy was and mention him next week. But he was hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, the day before spring.
All right. I have to go in 15 minutes. So we should probably do our favorite things.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
What do you got?
Work, 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 work. All right. Actually.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
I have a something that's not – it's going to be known in a year or two when it comes to Broadway. But it's a cast recording that just came out of a London production. And you could call it a revival, but when you listen to this cast recording, it feels like a completely new show.
Mm. Tell me. I don't know what it is.
It's Company. The Company in London.
Oh, I've listened to this.
I listened to it thinking, all right, like, do I really need to listen to another Company recording? You know, a little bit.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. Yes, you most certainly do. You don't need to listen to the Raul Esparza one anymore. You can just listen to this one. It was so incredible. That was a little shade. It is so.
Tino shade.
It is so. I'm fascinated by it because it is definitely not. There's no 1970s in this at all. It is today. It is not orchestrated. The orchestrations are completely changed. They've updated the lyrics. They've updated to make it sound like they talk about being on her cell phone or being on her phone and stuff like that. But they changed all the gender roles. So what used to be, you know, Bobby with Y is now, I think, Bobby with an I. It's Bobby. She's a female. And it, like, the I'm Not Getting Married Today is a gay couple singing about that, their relationship. And they've just completely swapped all of the gender roles that make this piece come to life in a completely new way. And for me, I did not see it, but listening to it, it feels fresh. It feels like this show was written for this production. And if you're a Sondheim, you know, dedicated, hardcore, you know, originalist, you're probably not going to get into this because you're going to want to hear the roles written the way that they were. But if you can go in with an open mind, you will hear things. I heard things in these songs, Rob, that I have never heard before, even like Barcelona. I never really realized that it was about him or her just kind of getting the guy to stay for like one more quickie. And then he's like, all right, I'll stay. And she's like, what? No. I don't. For some reason, it's more powerful hearing a woman talk about sex and hearing, like, for instance, have I got a girl for you? Have I got a girl for you? Wait, team. Well, have I got a guy for you? Is all the women singing it. And it brings a whole new empowerment to what they're talking about. And yes, in 1970, when this was written, you know, women's liberation was just happening, and yeah, very little. And you know, you still were thinking of men as in like the Mad Men world, misogynistic and all of that. So to have it completely turn on a dime, I just found it more vulnerable and stronger at the same time. I really loved her as this role. I love that when she sings up higher, it's not just her belting the whole time. This is Rosalie Craig, who's the lead. She's kind of like,
she's so good.
I hate to say she's like the Sutton Foster of London, but she's the Rosalie Craig of London. But she's incredible. But when she goes up into a higher register and she flips into her head voice for certain moments, it is deliberate. It's because the lyric calls for it. And so I found it a very effective recording. And I hear tell that they might come to New York. I hope they do. I mean, Patti LuPone is in it, and she gives a very Patti LuPone version of Ladies Who Lunch, which I like. But it's the rest of the recording that I really, really, really loved, and hearing all of these songs sung in a new way. So if you get a chance, go check out this company recording from the London. It really is something new based, you know, that you really can make something new out of it. I think a lot of people rolled their eyes a little bit when they're like, oh, really? They're gonna change the gender. But if it really worked for me, and they really thought it out, and it really fits. So I had a good time. So listen to it.
It's really a marvelous recording. But I will say, if you're an aficionado, be careful, because you'll start to sing along and then a new lyric pops up. Oh. And you're like,
oh, yes.
What do I do now?
Yeah, you're like, I smell burnt toast. Yeah.
mine this year is this is the last one we're doing.
It's been a while.
2019 is, this is a book that I'm absolutely obsessed with. I was obsessed with it growing up, and I took it off the shelf again. And I think everybody should have it on their shelf. The book is called, maybe, I don't know if you have this. Do you have a book called Showtime? I'm holding it up for Kevin.
Oh, no.
Okay. So this book is called Showtime by a guy named Gene Brown. And what Showtime is, it's a chronology of Broadway and the theater from its beginnings to the present. And from the present, for this sake, it's really like 1997. Right. But it starts in like 1846. And what he does is he takes every Broadway year and breaks it up into four little fun timeline categories for you. A yearly overview that tells you like all the events happen on stage, personalities, like what's happening with like actors and actresses, plays and musicals, like the big shows that open, and business and society, and births and deaths and marriages. Kevin, I want you to give me a year really quickly so I can explain a little bit more about this. Just give me any year.
1945, since we were talking for the day before spring.
Okay, I'm going to 1945. Here we go. He tells us in 1945, first of all, he gives you some fun facts. I'm going to give you a couple really quickly. Are you ready, Kevin?
I'm ready, Rob.
Great. How many miles were covered by Gertrude Lawrence's USO tour? How many miles covered by Gertrude Lawrence's USO tour? He's going to give you a little fun fact there.
I don't know. 1,000.
25,000.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, how much was Ethel Merman's compensation for Annie Get Your Gun? Remember, she's
like,
the...
Like a week?
Yeah, how much was she getting a week for Annie Get Your Gun?
Oh, boy. Back then, 1945... $1,500.
$3,000 a week plus 10% of the gross.
Wow.
He also tells you how many productions were on Broadway in the 1945 and 1946 season. 76. What won the Pulitzer Prize for drama that year? State of the Union. And the best musical from the New York Drama Critics Guild was Carousel.
Yes,
and Carousel. Then when you open it up, I'm going to show it to you, Kevin. He's got, like, it's on four different
timelines. You guys, this,
and we'll take a
this
photo.
Is really, this is very well – the layout right? is really – it pleases my type A personality with this kind of
So very quickly, reference. I'm going to read just a couple of things really quickly just so you understand. So under personalities, he tells you stuff about, like, actors and actresses. And he says in October, there's turmoil over the musical Spring in Brazil, the Schubert production that appears to need doctoring after a rough Boston tryout. At one point, Lee Schubert angrily shakes his finger in the face of star Milton Berle, who warns him to back off. Ooh. Also in on October 16th of that year, a revival of Victor Herbert's 1906, The Red Mill opened. In Business in Society, on July 1st, Philip Loeb, under attack for his radical political views, is nevertheless reelected to Actors' Equity Council, as is other revolutionaries at the time. It also tells you who was born. Oh, my God. How funny is this? Ready for this? August 21st, Patty McCormick.
Oh.
Who we just had in the concert.
That's so then, wild.
Unfortunately, on August 25th, producer Oliver Marosco was killed when hit by a trolley on Hollywood Boulevard. He died broke. So anyway, he does this, though, for every single year up until the late
research.
90s.
I mean, the research this guy did. Who's the author?
His name is Gene Brown. Wow. And he's the author of another book called Movie Time, which I don't own, but I think I'm going to buy it.
That has your name written all over it, Rob.
So anyway, it's just a really cool reference book that gives you, like, all this fun trivia that you really can't get anywhere else. Because what he did was to compile everything. He, like, scoured every theater magazine and every old back issue of Variety. So this book, I know it's really cheap on Amazon. Go buy it. It's called Showtime, A Chronology Showtime. Of Broadway and the Theater from Its Beginnings to the Present. Tommy Toon and Twiggy are on the cover. And it's written by Gene, G-E-N-E, Brown, B-R-O-W-N. That concludes our wonderful podcast. We're happy to be back.
I'm going on eBay before everybody else goes on there to get one.
Next week, we'll do another favorite thing. And then after that, we'll jump back in with the set still wet. And then we'll be alternating back and forth. So 1 week will be – and I hope you enjoyed Becky's stories. And I also hope you enjoyed Robbie Rizzell's stories, because they're incredible. And you're going to hear more from wonderful Broadway performers talking about their community theater experiences as this year progresses.
Oh, that was great.
Thank you. I need a cigarette now.
All right.
All right. Go have fun. You going to go to a coaching or something?
Yep. Going to go do a coaching, actually.
Have fun. Hey, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you and to you, listeners. Happy Valentine's Day.
Each day is Valentine's Day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alfred Drake was in the original Babes in Arms, so I can sing it like that. Thank you so much.
I love it when you sing like that.
Thank you. Okay, go have fun. Have a good coaching. Bye,
everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.